You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Even though severe cases can be rare, respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is still the leading cause of hospitalization in babies under one. RSV often begins like a cold or the flu, but can quickly spread to your baby's lungs. Ask your doctor about preventative antibodies for your baby this season, and visit protectagainstrsv.com. The information presented is for general educational purposes only. Please ask your healthcare provider about any questions regarding your health or your baby's health.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live on this Thursday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Two more hours to go where the focus is now football. We are 1 week out from the NFL season debut, the premiere inside Arrowhead Stadium, and a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game between the Chiefs and the Ravens. We'll take an early look here on the early line at that game a week from tonight. But before we get there, we rejoice. It officially begins week number one of the college football season tonight with 21 FBS college football games on this Thursday night. They start at 6 p.m. Eastern time in Piscataway, New Jersey, on the banks of the Raritan, as the Scarlet Knights get ready to host Howard in the first football game of this evening. 21 games that go all the way until 10 p.m. Eastern time as we head out to California as well. 21 games tonight. Six tomorrow, 67 on Saturday, one on Sunday, one on Labor Day Monday. It starts a five-day consecutive streak of college football each and every night. DRS, week number one of the 2024 campaign is officially here.
It's fantastic stuff. And by the way, talking about Rutgers football, the birthplace of collegiate football, I should say football anywhere, well, basically. I remember 1994 BWS. I don't know if you were born in 1994, but your boy was in the stands at Rutgers watching the Miami Hurricanes and the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. You had on one side of the ball Frank Costa, Miami. You had Warren Sapp of the Dolphins. You had Ray Lewis. So I'm entrenched in Rutgers football here in the Garden State. But also, let me just take this time out right now to say, I believe there's legislation that they're trying to push through in New Jersey where we can actually bet on our state's teams. And the reason I bring this up is not because you're a D-gen, you want to bet here. You take a look at Rutgers tonight, at home favored by 36.5 points. You want to talk about the alumni and people just watching that game and throwing it down and the tax money that you can get and the ramifications to understand that we're not actually influencing the game because we live an hour and a half away from Rutgers here and can't wager on this football game. Open that up in New Jersey because, quite frankly, it will help Rutgers, Rutgers football, Rutgers basketball, St. Peter's. Yeah. Understand this. Nobody's influencing those games because they live in New Jersey and say, hey, I'm from New York City, just across a stone's throw there, and I can bet on the football game. Open it up to New Jersey. Yeah. It will be better for Rutgers University, and they would love that.
And well said, DRS. And I would also advise if you are betting on the Rutgers game to go under 49.5 or focus on the Bison team total and go under that. Rutgers is going to be sensational under the Shiano man on the defensive side of the football this season. But we'll talk about that in just a moment. Best game of the night, North Dakota State and Colorado. We'll get to that in just a moment. But we have four ranked teams in the preseason AP Top 25 in action on this opening Thursday. to kick off week number one. Number 11, Missouri against FCS foe Murray State. 48.5-point spread. In fact, as you look up and down this board, all of the ranked teams tonight will play in FCS foe. Utah, 12th in the country, the top Big 12 team in the AP Top 25, a 38.5-point favorite against Southern Utah. Kansas, ranked in the preseason poll for the first time since 2009, a hefty favorite against Lindenwood. And NC State, under Dave Doran, has been as consistent as you will find around the country and within the ACC the last 5 to 7 years in college football. 32.5-point spread against Western Carolina.
Now, we love to start the college football season, but once again, Ben, if you made me commissioner of college sports, this would not be taking place in week number one. You would not be allowed to play down to your competition. We would expand the college football playoff to 32 teams. We'll take away these cupcakes, and we will get right after it in week number one. Ben, imagine the NFL right now, a cupcake schedule where it's like, hey, you know what? The Eagles are opening up in Brazil, but they're going to play a Division III football team out of college. Like, no, we're not having that here. We want to get better opponents up. Now, granted, this week, weekend, we're going to go over some great football games that you can sink your teeth into. But I feel like so many times in college football and college basketball, there's a lot of wasted time that we could be used much better here, Ben.
It's part of the reality, DRS, to get ranked teams playing on a Thursday night. You schedule a cupcake. You get your feet wet in a new college football season to set the stage for the rest of the year. A couple of names to know. The props aren't loading for me right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Unfortunate timing on this Thursday morning ahead of week one kicking off tonight in CFB. Jalen Daniels is back at the quarterback spot for KU. One of the best and most dynamic two-way threats at the QB position in college football for the Jayhawks. Brady Cook and Luther Burden, one of the best quarterback and wide receiver combos in college football this year. Keep an eye on Mizzou, the easiest schedule in the daunting SEC. A college football playoff run for the Tigers? Maybe, just maybe, if the defense can back up the amount of points the offense is going to score throughout this season. But those are the cupcake games, a ranked team versus an FCS foe. When you're an FBS team, often you start your year with an FCS opponent. It should be easy. You should win by 3 touchdowns at bare minimum and be happy entering week number two. Not the case tonight in Folsom Field. Deion Sanders himself at his first Big 12 media days back in July in Vegas said, I can't believe that before I got to see you, they had this game on the schedule. Colorado starts year number two of the prime era tonight in Boulder against FCS powerhouse North Dakota State. In my estimation, it is the best game of this Thursday night. It could be a top five game in week number one, including the ranked versus ranked games that we have on Saturday and Sunday. The Buffaloes, a 9.5-point home favorite against the Bison. The over-under, 59.5. Again, from the odds perspective, DRS, there is a talent gap between Colorado, an FBS program, and NDSU, an FCS school, but not that large of a gap to have this as a single-digit number entering tonight in Boulder.
It's pretty crazy. And also keep in mind, if you are Colorado, yes, you are the more talented football team. You're at home and you're not an underdog. You're favored roughly by double digits. You're supposed to win this game. And quite frankly, if you have maybe two top five draft picks on your roster at quarterback and also wide receiver slash cornerback, you should win this game going away. But I feel like as a general public, like, it's great that this is number one, the game number one in primetime at 8 o'clock that we can all watch tonight, because we are going to win, Ben. Even if Colorado doesn't win, if they win the football game, Deion is going to peacock at that press conference, and I can't wait to watch it. If they lose, I can't wait for Deion to show up or not show up to that press conference and answer the questions about losing to an FCS team at this point. This is what makes it so intriguing. If this was like a week five game, nobody would talk about it. But the fact we get this week number one on a Thursday night in primetime with so much intrigue all the way around, that's why it's going to have the high ratings, because either way, the public is going to win because Deion is going to put on a show.
So much public notoriety and attention paid to Colorado. They were the story of September last year in college football. A perfect 3-0 start. An upset of the reigning national runner-ups in TCU week number one as a 3-touchdown dog. But then they only won one more game from that perfect 3-0 start, winning four of their first six, never winning again, a 4-8 season for CU. We'll talk about year two expectation under Deion Sanders in just a moment. As for this game, just so you know what North Dakota State brings into the ballgame tonight in Boulder. They have won six of the last 10 FCS national titles, their last in 2021. They are a powerhouse at this level. Even a down year last year led to a semifinal berth. They were runner-up in 2022 to South Dakota State, who is also a wagon playing Oklahoma State on Saturday. North Dakota State returns nine players that made seven-plus starts last year on the defensive side of the football, and they return both of their quarterbacks. Why do I say both? Because both Cam Miller, who will more than likely start tonight, and Cole Payton run a heavy run offense. And both QBs each had 13 rushing touchdowns a season ago against a Colorado defense that needs to be better. They gave up 34.5 points per game, the fourth worst of any power conference program a season ago, and more than 176 yards on the ground. More from Boulder next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
21 FBS college football games to kick off week number one tonight on a Thursday for the college football 2024 campaign. And the best game of the night, the one that at least will probably have the most public national attention in a national spot, 8 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN. It is Colorado hosting FCS power North Dakota State. A 9.5-point spread in favor of CU. The over-under slightly on the uptick at 59.5. Donnie, you have called this game, and I think correctly so, a referendum entering year number two of the prime era under Deion Sanders in Colorado. What will the referendum say on a Friday morning following tonight's season opener for Colorado?
I'd be hard-pressed to see if they lost, because also keep in mind, maybe you would expect this loss last year on the Deion's first season, but you had that entire offseason to get this team ready to go. You have a quarterback that's supposed to be probably a top-five player, if not higher, in the draft. You're supposed to win these football games going away against lesser competition. But you can also say, where were the issues last year, Ben, on the Colorado squad? It was on the offensive line. They just couldn't block. So then you take a look at their supposed starters this year. No returning starters back, so it's a complete line change on that offensive line to see if these guys can actually block. Now, again, if you have a quarterback of that talent, two starting wide receivers coming back that should be able to get open against anybody, you should be able to move the football at will tonight. And even if your defense isn't that great, you still should be able to put this team away. And also, if Colorado does win tonight, they don't get any bonus points for being beating an FCS team. They're supposed to do that on their home field. But if they do lose, that sends things maybe spiraling for the rest of part of the season. But for my money, and this isn't coming from, hey, I dug into the X and O's. Colorado's supposed to win this football game, and I would be really surprised if they didn't.
They're still a 9.5-point favorite. What will our reaction be if Colorado covers that number? We'll say good. This Buffaloes team has improved year over year. Mm-hmm. If NDSU keeps it tight, okay, maybe some questions and some holes to poke in this Colorado team. If they lose, oh boy, the storm that will hit Boulder immediately is going to be large. And that is part of what is in store for CU. It comes with the talk. You must then walk the walk and back it up. Now, I just want to say this from a college football perspective. Carl Durrell, former head coach before Deion Sanders in Boulder. CU won a single game in 2022. So getting the four wins last year with a completely overhauled roster that Deion Sanders has pretty much done once again, 42 transfers in, 45 transfers out throughout this offseason, to improve this year, to get to bowl eligibility would be a statement for CU. But that's not how people bet Deion Sanders, and that's not what maybe he would even consider success this year in Boulder. But what is true success this year? The Buffs' win total is 5.5. First year in the Big 12, 25-1 is the number to win the conference. Shedeur Sanders, one of the best quarterbacks in the conference and maybe the country in college football at 40-1. And the best two-way player, Travis Hunter, now fully healthy at a 60-1 number to win the Heisman Trophy. In the season opener last year, that huge upset in Fort Worth over the Horned Frogs, Hunter played 144 total snaps, was out there virtually the entirety of the game on either side of the football. For Colorado to be great, Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter and the rest of the cast and crew have to be great. But what do you consider, DRS, success for Colorado this year in year two under Sanders?
You got to go to a bowl game. You do. I understand that you can turn things quickly around. Let's just say this was been, I don't know, 10 years ago in college football. No transfer portal. You'd say, you know what, you got to give Deion 5 to 6 years because he's got to get four full recruiting classes in there for your expectations to be much higher. He brought in a lot of good football players and maybe to his own detriment at Colorado, got off to that hot start. Let's just say they lost last year to TCU. Yeah. Maybe those expectations at the end of the year go, hey, you know what, didn't have a great football team, fought against it, picked up a couple wins on to next year. But we sort of bought in as a national public here saying, oh no, they just beat the runners up to the national championship game. Maybe they can make a bowl game this year and be a top 20 team. And all eyes were on the prize in America. We were watching each and every game early on, but they sort of fell off. Yeah. But that's no excuse here. Like, we're not saying, hey, a winning season or a 5-win season is going to be a plus. Also keep in mind, to me, Ben, last year's Pac-12 much tougher than what you're going to get out of this year's Big 12, even though it will be a competitive conference. That's why the expectations are slightly higher this year on Colorado.
Yeah.
But also, you have the talent. It's not as if you don't have the talent. You have the coaching staff in place that you feel is going to be able to pick up wins. And just having a Heisman Trophy candidate at quarterback, you should be able to move that football up and down the field. Anything less than a bowl game, which is 6 wins, that's a massive disappointment for Colorado and Deion Sanders.
Colorado left the Big 12 initially to join the Pac-12 back in 2010. First season in the Pac-12 was 2011. You might not remember this, but Colorado before Deion Sanders and before they left for the Pac-12 was a solid and consistent program out there in the Rockies. But after their departure from the Big 12, just one bowl appearance for Colorado in that span since 2010, way back in 2016. So to lead this program back to bowl eligibility would be something. Year-over-year improvement for a team that won just a single game 2 college football seasons ago. But people aren't really betting Colorado to make a bowl or to go over 5.5 wins. People are betting CU to win the Big 12 at 25-1 or to reach the college football playoff at a 22-1 number, or heck, to win a national championship at 300-1. I think there is the realist perspective for this Colorado team and the national attention that comes with the Deion Sanders hype train. His son is his quarterback, and Shedeur Sanders last year threw for more than 3,200 passing yards, 27 TDs to only three interceptions. 25th in terms of college football last year in terms of his passing output. His props entering this year, 3,050 and a hook, should go over that. He threw for 348 yards or more in 4 of the first 5 games for CU last year, including 510 against TCU in the opener, but just more than 275 yards once in the last 6 games. It also coincided with an OC change. Sean Lewis, a bright and talented young mind who is now the head coach at San Diego State and a familiar name in NFL circles, Pat Shurmur. You can see Shedeur Sanders, a +550 price to be the first overall pick in 2025. It's the second best number. Some final thoughts on this Thursday in college football, next Thursday in the NFL. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tonight kicks off week number one of the 2024 college football season. 21 FBS games on this Thursday evening. That's games that include at least one FBS program taking the field. Colorado and North Dakota State is not one of the few that we have that features two FBS programs, so one of the other best games of the night. Minnesota and North Carolina in the Twin Cities, a 1.5-point spread in favor of UNC. A lot of turnover for both of these two teams. They met last year early on in September, week number 3. UNC won that game 31-13. Drake May threw for over 400 yards and a couple of touchdowns. North Carolina won and covered as a touchdown favorite in Chapel Hill. But I will ask you to pay attention to the running back battle tonight. Omarion Hampton for UNC, expected to be one of the best in the country this year. Darius Taylor on the other side for the Golden Gophers, I think, is in store for a big season debut tonight in Minneapolis.
I'll tell you what's interesting about this game, too, some of the line movement here. Initially, the FanDuel Sportsbook opened up Minnesota as a 2.5-point favorite. We now see that at 1.5, and some other outlets out there are showing 2s and higher as the favorite team, North Carolina. But you're right, a lot of turnover here, game number one, almost a measuring stick game between these two programs. And sooner than later, I need some big-time results out of P.J. Fleck up there in Minnesota, or else let's just go back to the MAC and have some fun, P.J. What's the big deal? Go home. You can always go home, as they like to say.
It's a good point, DRS. There's a couple of calls for P.J. Fleck in terms of really turning things around. This is going to be year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is year 8 at the helm of the Gophers. They won 9 games back in 2021. They won 11 games for the first time since the early 1900s back in 2019 with Rashad Bateman and Tyler Johnson at the wide receiver spots and Mo Ibrahim as their running back. Now it's Darius Taylor. It's Max Brosmer, the transfer from New Hampshire, where Ryan Day and Chip Kelly played quarterback back in the day. A lot will be expected of this Gophers team. A new DC in the Twin Cities. Need to be better on the defensive side of the football. A top 10 defense in 2022. Much worse last year, giving up nearly 27 points per game and more than 154 per game on the ground. A couple of Big Ten teams in action tonight. Illinois, 4-touchdown favorite. Under the man known as Brett Bielema in this season debut against Eastern Illinois. Rutgers, as we shared, 36.5-point favorite against Howard. That's the first game of the night starting at 6 p.m. Eastern time. New era in Collins. It's John Sumrall taking over. He left Troy to go to Tulane after Willie Fritz left Tulane to go to Houston. Sumrall, third highest active win percentage among FBS coaches in its 2 years leading the Trojans. Troy was pretty good in the Sun Belt. All right, DRS, any final thoughts on college football before we move our attention to next week's Thursday football slate in the National Football League?
Well, just looking forward to tonight's action, dipping into a little Colorado, keeping an eye on some other scores here. And again, it's the perfect appetizer here. Don't get spent on Thursday night, people. You got to wait for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Labor Day Monday. So pace yourselves with those bankrolls out there. How about that?
6 games tomorrow, 21 tonight, 67 on Saturday, USC and LSU from Sin City on Sunday, Florida State back stateside, hoping for better against Boston College on Monday night, Labor Day evening. Next Thursday, the NFL season kicks off inside Arrowhead, a rematch of the AFC Championship game from a year ago. It's the Chiefs and the Ravens. KC dispatching Baltimore in the Charm City, last AFC title game to advance back to a Super Bowl and claim their third Lombardi Trophy in the last 5 years. So the two-time reigning Super Bowl champions try to kick off their title defense, looking to do something, DRS, that no team has ever done in the history of the National Football League. That's win 3 Lombardi trophies in 3 straight seasons. The Chiefs, a 3-point favorite at home against the flock, the over-under 46.5. Your early thoughts a week out from the season opener in Arrowhead.
I think that spread is perfect here, and we can just go back a few months and say, okay, it's a rematch, but it's in a different building. Did you learn, Baltimore Ravens, from your mistakes? You know you have an electric quarterback with his arm, but more importantly, on the ground. You signed up some big-time running backs for this season. Will you use them in the Thursday's opener, or will you say, to hell with what we do great, let's throw the football all over the lot and get beat by the Kansas City Chiefs? That's the question we're going to answer. But as I said, I think that line at 3 is absolutely right on point. It's going to be a great game and a close one right down the stretch.
I think it's going to be a great game as well, and the field goal number feels fitting. We'll talk more about it with Mark Zinno a little bit later on in this second hour. He joins us next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is when Mark Zeno gets into his truest form. Not the MLB map, not daily plays in Major League Baseball. He is known as the mouth in the South for a reason. And the college football season in full kicks off this week. And week one kicks off tonight with 21 FBS college football games. So on this Thursday, live right here on the Early Line for the next half hour, Mark Zeno joins us to talk some college football. Zeno, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you for being here.
Gentlemen, it's Christmas for me. I mean, you know, as soon as I get that stinger to come in, my life will be complete, and I know it's really on.
We do have a segment together, Zeno, as we break down some of the biggest games that involve an SEC school here in week number one. So many things are happening. My mind's all over the place, giddy with excitement. But, Zeno, before we dive into any week one games, either on this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Monday, that's five consecutive days of college football, let's go big picture to begin. As you look at the national championship odds, I really think it is a statement into what this college football season holds. Now, there is a slight change, of course, as Florida State was upset last week in Dublin by Georgia Tech. FSU and Michigan tied for the 10th best price to win the Natty this year at 30-1. Entering week number one, Michigan now a 30-1 price by themselves with that 10th best number. So, Zeno, 9 of the 10 best prices to win the college football playoff national championship in 2024 hail from either the SEC or the Big Ten. 5 SEC schools, 4 Big Ten programs on that list, and the independent, that is Notre Dame. Is the national championship prices an indication to you of what this college football season is going to look like in the hunt for a title?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's obviously they're the two best conferences, but, you know, what you do have to account for, maybe here's a little bit of cannibalization of each other, and that there is a possibility that whether it's Notre Dame or even an ACC team that could sneak in and sort of upset the apple cart here, although I don't want to give too much credence to the Big 12. I think they still have a long way to go as far as the conferences are concerned. But again, Georgia's going to play its toughest schedule easily in 5 years. LSU is going through a state of transition. Alabama's got a brand new head coach, despite the fact that they're returning a lot of the same talent. So all these teams have a bunch of question marks, and they're all going to start to play opponents that they don't routinely see. And this is kind of the only thing that conference realignment, in my opinion, has really done that has made it a lot more exciting. When you look at some of these opening game schedules and things of that nature and the way it's all going to shake out, LSU and USC, and then you get Texas A&M and Notre Dame in week one. I mean, you're getting some legitimate matchups here that could be season-defining matchups that really could, you know, decide how the ranking system goes for those 7 at-large bids that are going to pop up for the expanded college football playoff here. So I do think there'll be a little bit of cannibalization. I think when it's all said and done with it, we get to the final 12. You know, having 9 of the top 10 teams come from those two conferences, it wouldn't shock me if we got 3 or 4 Big 12 teams in, 2 or 3 ACC teams in. You're only looking at maybe 5 or 6 or 7 from the SEC and the Big Ten combined.
Mark, talk to me this year about coaching philosophy, because we haven't seen this before. 12 teams are going to make it into the college football playoff, and so many times early in the season, let's just say it's week 2 or week 3 or week 4, you suffer that loss. You're probably just trying to coach your kids up, say, hey, guys, we still have some things to play for, even though you technically don't believe it if it's championship or bust. But now most of these teams can afford at least 1 loss, maybe even 2 losses, to play themselves into the national championship picture. How do you figure that plays on teams like Georgia and Ohio State and Oregon, who in the past you saw Georgia last year take a loss in the SEC championship game, not even included in the college football playoff? Now you can still coach these kids up for the remaining parts of the season, say, no, we have a legitimate chance to get ourselves into the college football playoff.
Yeah, and it's not only interesting that teams will play different because they're actually still alive. I'm really curious to see when we get to November and we start getting rankings coming out. That 4-5 seed competition is going to be very interesting, obviously, because the top four seeds are going to get a bye through the first round. That's one less game that they're going to have to play. And so that's ultimately going to be another deciding factor where, you know, teams sitting at 6 or 7 and teams sitting at 3 and 4 are really going to have to kick it up another notch. And I think when you get to that point of the schedule in November, everybody's theoretically trying to play their very best football. But what it does do is it gets these teams in the high teens, the 17, 18 teams that believe, hey, a couple things bounce away, we still got a shot. You may get some more competitive football down the road. I'll just add this much to this whole thing while we keep this narrative out there about, you know, what the expanded playoff has done. It's not like the pros. You don't often see college teams and college coaches just mail it in, right? Especially when they play home games in front of their students and their boosters and everything else. Like, they still come to play. It's not like the NFL where these guys mail it in. They know their season is over. So I don't think you'll see that much of a drop-off. But the inter-competition between 4 and 5 seed, who's going to get the bye and who's not, and those teams at the very end that are trying to sneak their way in still will be a little bit higher.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point, Zeno. I think it adds significance to the regular season. Detractors of expansion tried to argue the opposite. I would disagree. As you look at the national championship odds, before we move individual and talk Heisman Trophy, are there any teams that you are targeting, either in the top 10 list here with one of those prices or a little bit deeper down the board in this new era of college football?
I think LSU is under the radar this year. I know that they've had a quarterback change. They just lost the Heisman Trophy winner. I get it. Time to get on the NUS bus. But their schedule is super favorable, all things considered. If they get past USC in week 1, and I think they do, the toughest contest they have the rest of the way is a road contest at A&M at the end of October. They get Ole Miss at home. They get Alabama at home. They get Oklahoma at home. So we all know how hard it is to go into Death Valley and the advantage that they have there. Their other road games are South Carolina and Arkansas. Again, also teams in the programs in a state of transition here. They do have to go to the Swamp in Florida, but who knows what that situation is going to look like by then, whether Billy Napier is still going to be there or not. But they got a really favorable schedule from that standpoint. I think that they could actually be in contention to win the SEC. If they do that and they get a top 4 seed, guess what? LSU could really surprise some people this year coming out of nowhere. And Brian Kelly, who I think is still an excellent football coach. You know, we want to talk about recruiting and other things aside. When it comes to X's and O's and game plan, Brian Kelly's in the top 5 to 10 coaches that I absolutely would trust in a spot to put their game plan to beat any opponent. So this is a really good situation here for the Tigers flying under the radar a little bit.
There will be many Heisman Trophy moments this year. The top 5 in the odds market here at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the Heisman: Gabriel Beck, Ewers, Milroe, and Howard. Now, I'm going to ask you this question. Are we going to see one of these top flight, top guys run away with it? Or is there the chance that we might see a little bit of a longer shot be able to take down a Heisman Trophy this year?
I think there are some longer names out there that really could sort of, you know, again, throw wrenches into the works. We were talking about Kieran Drones from Virginia Tech, the dual threat quarterback before we started to go. I mean, I love the kid. I think he's incredibly under the radar right now. I think Virginia Tech's under the radar right now. If he puts together an offensive season like I think he can, he'll insert himself into this conversation at some point. Not going to crack the top 2 or 3 odds just because he's playing at Virginia Tech, but that's a guy to look out for that I think could upset some things. You know, where do we look at other guys who are out there? How much does Will Howard really play into this thing at Ohio State? I'm not really sure. You know, Ewers, I think, probably would be the guy that I'd look at right now. The Georgia offense is in a state of transition. I don't know what they're going to look like the first couple of weeks of the year. Remember last year, for as good as they were overall, the first 4 weeks of the season, the Georgia offense wasn't good. It was really unimpressive, as a matter of fact. So are they going to go through those same struggles now without Brock Bowers and Ladd McConkey and everything else? I think Ewers probably has the most stability and an offense that sets him up to win this thing is who I would look at the early season. But there certainly are some other names out there that I think really are worth taking a look at. And don't forget, guys, about Noah Fifita in Arizona. He's going to have a full season now under center. He was excellent last year. It's another guy that's going to fly under the radar that no one's thinking about. But these are eye-popping numbers for Fifita that could really set the world on fire.
It might be the best quarterback wide receiver duo in the Big 12 and around the country. Noah Fifita and Tetaroa McMillan remain in Tucson. We'll talk some SEC handicaps next with Mark Zinner here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It has been long awaited to see this animation back in our lives. Week number one of this college football season on a Thursday. A ranked SEC team in the mix tonight. That's Missouri checking in at 11th in the country with the easiest schedule in the Southeastern Conference. A team I am optimistic about. But whether it's Mizzou tonight or elsewhere around the conference, this is when Mark Zeno transitions into the mouth in the South. It's time for his SEC picks. You guys seen the meme of Seinfeld when George Costanza said it's soup season, I got to get ready, or whatever the line is? That's Mark Zeno right now as we get ready for college football. It's mouth in the South season. Zeno, let's start with the SEC title odds, a realigned conference with the additions of Oklahoma and Texas, and the Longhorns have the second best price at plus 370 to win a conference crown. Georgia, the preseason favorite at plus 180. A new era in Tuscaloosa at Alabama under Kalen DeBoer. No longer Nick Saban, but a 5-1 price on the Crimson Tide. You are optimistic about LSU. Where else would you look in the conference for a bet?
I mean, again, it's hard to turn away from Texas at this point in time. But their schedule does give you a little bit of pause for concern, just from the standpoint of, you know, facing Georgia and having to go to A&M, you know. But I think other than that, they have a very favorable schedule from the standpoint of Michigan. I don't think will be as tough as many people give credit for. It's going to be a great matchup to watch in week two, but clearly they're taking a little bit of a step back. So Texas would be where I would look first when it comes to the odds. And again, what have I said for the last couple of years, even when Nick Saban was there? Like, Alabama at that price almost feels like an auto bet, just because you never see Alabama at this price. They still have what I think at this point in time might be the most complete, you know, team overall in the SEC. And Jalen Milroe is another guy. He might be better than Carson Beck, at least for my money. We'll see. I think if he takes another step forward, that could be something that we're talking about come the middle of the season. But those are the teams that I'm looking at: Alabama and Texas, LSU, Georgia. I just have a hard time believing they're going to escape the schedule without at least two losses. I really genuinely do. Like, it's just, they haven't had to play this level of the schedule all in a long time. And I don't know if they have the horses in the barn, given what they lost last year, to do it.
By the way, Mark, we are going to start off this season in the ACC and the SEC week number one on Saturday at noon kickoff. Don't have to wait long. It's Clemson. It's Georgia, a 2-touchdown favorite here at the FanDuel Sportsbook for Georgia. A total that opened at 50.5 has dropped now to 48.5. It feels like, when we talk, I mean, we've talked a lot about Colorado and the referendum that's going to be taking place here with Deion Sanders. Dabo Swinney's been a very good college coach, but not really wanting to adapt maybe to today's college football game. Talk to me about Clemson and Georgia and the ramifications on a win or a loss, even from a Clemson perspective here.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll say this much about Clemson. Their defense is going to be very good once again. This should be a top 20 defense in the country, based by Barrett Carter, first preseason All-American linebacker. I mean, look, this is exactly what Dabo has been known for building on, that side of the ball, right? Like, this is exactly the moment that he steps up. He's had all the time to prepare for Georgia, and he's facing an offense, as I mentioned, in state of transition. No more Brock Bowers, no more Ladd McConkey, and still Mike Bobo, who I'm not 100% a fan of as far as a play caller and a coordinator when it comes to his track record, given what he did at Georgia the first time, what happened at Colorado State, and then they brought it back, the slow start last year. Part of the production from Georgia's offense was the fact that they played a very limited schedule. They're not used to seeing a defense the level of Clemson until they get to the SEC championship game and they end up playing Alabama. So I like the fact here that Clemson is going to go up against an offense in a state of transition. Now, on the flip side of this, guys, Clemson's offense isn't exactly ready to set the world on fire. Kate Klubnik has been highly touted coming in, but hasn't really lived up to expectations. Hasn't necessarily gotten below him. but we've seen some things from him that make you go, this wasn't the five-star recruit coming out of high school we thought we were getting kind of deal. So Georgia's defense, we know, is always going to be good. It doesn't matter who's playing there. They've got that pedigree. I like the under in this game, guys. I know we missed the best of the number, but still at 48.5, I'm pretty content with taking the under in this contest.
You want a sign of the times for Clemson football that they're not quite at the pantheon of college football at this moment like Georgia, the preseason number one team, is? There's always high expectations in Clemson. But to start off 2021 after a college football playoff appearance the year prior, these two teams met up in Charlotte, week number one, the marquee matchup on a Saturday night. The Tigers were a 3-point favorite against UGA, now a 13.5-point underdog against the Dogs, who have won two national championships since 2021 got started. And Georgia has only lost two football games in the last three-plus seasons, in their last 48 since the end of 2020 through 2021 and to where we are at this moment. The once fearsome swamp for the Gators, maybe not so much in a Sunshine State showdown this Saturday between Florida and Miami, one of the eight preseason-ranked opponents that UF has to play in year number three under Billy Napier. It makes it the most difficult schedule in the country. In Miami, Mark Zeno, with a new quarterback in Cameron Ward and a new running back in Damian Martinez and a lot of returning talent elsewhere, is a 2.5-point favorite in Gainesville. Is the line correct? Will the result follow suit?
Chomp, chomp, guys. This is not a spot where I would back Miami. It's Florida or pass. And I kind of like Florida with no expectations, with people thinking they're going to be bad, and Billy Napier with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. But we know Billy Napier has always been about defense. At least that was the success he had that got him the Florida job. And I think he'll be well prepared for this. I think Cam Ward was undervalued last year at Washington State. We know what the Heisman numbers he was able to put up at some points throughout the season. But this doesn't bode well for Mario Cristobal. This is not a spot where I want to back Miami, given everything that they have. People are talking about this team possibly winning a national title. I don't see it. I'll take the points. I'll take the Gators on the money line as well.
Lot of expectation for this Miami team in year number three under Cristobal. They have a losing record, 12-13 in his first 2 years in South Florida. Plenty more around week one of college football next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid to go elsewhere around the week one slate in college football, the first full Saturday of the year, the first full weekend of the year as well. Late night in College Station. It is Texas A&M and Notre Dame, one of the ranked versus ranked matchups that we have as a part of this college football slate to kick off week number one. A&M, top 20 team in the country, against Notre Dame, who checks in at number 7 entering 2024. 2.5-point spread, Zeno, in favor of the Aggies. It's the debut of Mike Elko, now as the head coach at A&M, but of course, he knows College Station pretty well, was the defensive coordinator for 4 years under Jimbo Fisher before heading to Duke, where his quarterback for 2 years was Riley Leonard, who's now the new quarterback at Notre Dame. How do we make sense of it all with the Irish, a 2.5-point road underdog?
Yeah, who would have thought the smart kids at Duke would have invaded this matchup? But that's obviously what has happened here. And I like Texas A&M, guys. I can't get past it. Look, just for the sake of me having some sanity for 3.5 hours, I'll probably suck up the juice and just take A&M on the money line and not worry about it in case this thing is closer than what we think. But I have a hard time believing that Notre Dame's offense is going to be able to have a lot of success against this A&M defense. And for everything that we know about what Mike Elko is and what he built at Duke, he knows Riley very well. He knows Riley Leonard very well. He knows what he does well. He knows what his weaknesses are. And this is also a young man who's still recovering from a major knee injury last year. How much is he going to be able to let loose and do the things he normally was able to do at Duke? You know, he was a pretty mobile guy and liked to run and everything else. Will he have the full, you know, gamut of his skill set available in this game? regardless, I just think the environment at Kyle Field, one of the toughest and best in all of college football, given this primetime matchup and everything that we're going to be looking at, is way too much for me to look over the Aggies. I know the Irish are the seventh team in the country. Some of that feels like it's a little bit inflated given what they've lost. Still, I like this Aggies defense. I think they show out. I think the under is also a decent play in this spot here, but I'm not walking away from Texas A&M at home.
From Yale practice on Saturday night to Sin City on a Sunday, LSU and USC. How about this? The FanDuel Sportsbook opened up earlier, a 6.5-point favorite for LSU. We're now down, Mark, to 4.5 and other outlets as low as 4, a total of 64.5. LSU-SC from Vegas. What gives here?
Well, you know my thoughts on LSU, as I told them a little while ago. I think they're really undervalued here, and I think there's a reason why they're the favorite here. But multiple things here, particularly for the USC defense, which we knew was bad. Alex Grinch is gone. You know, they now have Danton Lynn, who takes over. But it's an LSU front that returns 4 starters in this game. Their defense still is going to be very good, LSU. I know they lost a lot on the offensive side of the ball with Daniels and Neighbors going to the NFL. But this is about, for me, this LSU defense being able to take care of a USC offense. And both these quarterbacks, guys, are guys in Miller Moss for USC and Garrett Nussmeier for the Tigers. Been in the system for a couple of years, been with the same coach for a couple of years. So theoretically, the transition should be a little less difficult than, let's say, a transfer portal quarterback coming in and taking the job here. But I think, in general, I give the edge to Nussmeier. I give the edge to Brian Kelly, not to take anything away from Lincoln Riley and what he's able to do as a play caller. This is the first time Lincoln Riley hasn't had a dynamic quarterback under center for him in his entire, you know, recent collegiate career going back to Oklahoma. So I think things will be a little bit of a struggle for USC early. I like LSU. I'll lay the points.
In this era of college football, to see two guys like Miller Moss and Garrett Nussmeier wait it out at their respective programs is a testament to both of the signal callers that will enter the stage in Sin City on Sunday. Miller Moss, a Holiday Bowl record, 6 touchdowns against Louisville. That was the optimism for him to earn the starting job entering this season as the heir apparent to Caleb Williams. Garrett Nussmeier has bided his time behind the Heisman Trophy winner in Jaden Daniels. He's going to be really, really good this year. Yes. And there's a lot of offensive pieces there for LSU to like as well. 13 games for both of these teams. Both were trashed defensively last year. USC, the 3rd worst power conference team in terms of scoring defensive output, more than 35 points per game. They played 13 games, 10 of them over. The Bayou Bengals played 13 games, 12 of them over. 2 new DCs, Blake Baker in the Bayou, Danton Lynn, the short trip in L.A. from UCLA to USC. How will their defenses perform in game number 1 against 2 stout offenses on the other side? Mark Zeno, the mouth in the South. It's that time of the year. We appreciate your time. Hour 3 of the Early Line is up next.
Even when you're playing music, you're always listening to your baby, especially when RSV is on your mind. Beyfortus, nirsevimab ALIP, is the first and only long-acting preventative antibody that gives babies the RSV antibodies they lack. Beyfortus is a prescription medicine used to help prevent serious lung disease caused by RSV or respiratory syncytial virus in babies under age 1, born during or entering their first RSV season, and children up to 24 months who remain at risk of severe RSV disease through their second RSV season. Your baby shouldn't receive Beyfortus if they have a history of serious allergic reactions to Beyfortus, nirsevimab ALIP, or any of its ingredients. Tell your baby's doctor about any medicines they're taking and all their medical conditions, including bleeding or bruising problems. Serious allergic reactions have happened. Get medical help right away if your child has any of the following signs or symptoms of a serious allergic reaction, such as swelling of the face, mouth, or tongue, difficulty swallowing or breathing, unresponsiveness, bluish color of skin, lips, or under fingernails, muscle weakness, severe rash, hives, or itching. Most common side effects include rash and pain, swelling, or hardness at their injection site. Individual results may vary. Ask your baby's doctor about Beyfortus. Visit Beyfortus.com or call 1-855-BEYFORTUS.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.